to be? All of these kind of question words. We need to stop and consider those. Because if you looked at Daniel, he was who he was supposed to be. And he was always doing the job that Darius had entrusted him with. And he was working with the other people that he was supposed to be working with time and time again. In every standard of measurement, Daniel was excelling. And you know what? That did not make Daniel a workaholic. Because what we see happening in this chapter is that he never let his work commitments overtake his commitment to God. Daniel still found time in every single day to pray 3 times there in his home, petitioning God to bless him. And so if Daniel was able to excel in his work without letting that overtake his commitment to God, shouldn't that be true of us today? God is calling us to this kind of a work ethic. He's calling his people to give their very best. Whether we look at the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, about giving your best to the things that your hand finds to do, or Colossians 3, 23 and 24, which echo those very words from Ephesians, about thinking about who we're really working for the glory of God. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord, rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. It's so black and white for us. It is the Lord Christ that we serve each day. And I think when we see Daniel able to serve this way for decades, and able to serve this way with corrupt rulers, it makes us stand a little taller and give our very best so that we would be the kind of trustworthy people that Daniel was. But what do we see happen in verse 6? Well, we see that when you work this way, you receive the admiration of some, like Darius, but you're also going to be under attack. And so in verse 5 and verse 6, the attack unfolds on Daniel. And for that, we need to see his faith in God. That as that attack starts and these environments continue to change, he stays grounded in his convictions. This is a longer reading. Let's read verse 6 down to verse 23. Then these commissioners and satraps came by agreement to the king and spoke to him as follows. King Darius, live forever. All the commissioners of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the high officials and the governors have consulted together that the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which may not be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document, that is the injunction. Now, when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now, in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem. And he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. And these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and supplication before his God. And they approached and spoke before the king about the king's injunction. Did you not sign an injunction that any man who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days is to be cast into the lion's den? And the king replied, the statement's true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked. Then they answered and spoke before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the injunction which you signed, but keeps making his petition 3 times a day. Notice in verse 13, for them to even say that he does it 3 times a day means that the very first time he did it, they didn't storm in and arrest him. They like watched him. Oh, he did it in the morning. He did it again in the afternoon. He did it again in the evening. It's like they watched him, the whole thing we know is a setup, and they were just gathering evidence to walk in and present before Darius. Verse 14. Then as soon as the king heard this statement, he was deeply distressed, and he set his mind on delivering Daniel. Even until sunset, he kept exerting himself to rescue him. And these men came by agreement to the king, and they said to the king, recognize, O king, it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or statutes which the king establishes may be changed. And the king gave orders, and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. And the king spoke and said to Daniel, "Your God, whom you constantly serve, will deliver you." A stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring. And, notice verse 17, with the signet rings of his nobles, that nothing would be changed in regard to Daniel. We'll come back to verse 17 in a minute. Then the king went off to the palace and spent the night fasting. No entertainment was brought before him. His sleep fled from him. And the king arose at dawn at the break of day. He went in haste to the lion's den. When he'd come near the den of Daniel, he cried to a troubled voice. The king spoke and said to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions?" And Daniel spoke to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me. Inasmuch as I was found innocent before him and towards you, O king, I've committed no crime." And the king was very pleased, and he gave orders for Daniel to be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him because he had trusted in his God. What about this amazing trust that we see in Daniel? We understand in this section that Daniel's enemies are not just trying to discredit him. They are trying to destroy him. And in this passage, we are seeing a faith here that can really withstand the storms of life. And the first thing I'd want you to see is that that kind of faith, that doesn't happen overnight. The kind of faith that Daniel has here, it was built on these long-standing habits. The end of verse 10 says he was praying as he had been doing previously. Verse 16, even Darius recognizes at the end of verse 16, "Your God, whom you constantly serve, will himself deliver you." It's the habits that we build today that help us navigate these changing environments. It's the habits that we need to hold on to, those habits of worshiping week after week, of reading our Bibles, of dedicating ourselves to prayer. Those habits are so critical for us. We need to be reinforcing those good habits among one another. Because we see even in the book of Daniel, his habits were influenced by his friendships. And we must admit that our habits are going to be influenced by our friendships as well. I love these long-standing personal habits that are building up Daniel. Because it's both in his worship, such as prayer, but also in his obedience, this faithfulness and this integrity that we're seeing. Those are the habits that help him. But those habits do get tested, don't they? They get tested in the face of this danger. They get tested in the face of this danger, particularly here in verse 11. They get tested here. And I want you to think about verse 17. I said we're going to come back to that. It seems like the king comes up in verse 17 and says, "Okay, you guys came in and wanted this law. Not only did you come in and want this law, but you've come back to me and said, before the sun goes down, we expect you to enforce this law because it cannot be changed. And so I want you to put Daniel in this lion's den." And the king seems to walk up with his signet ring, stick it in whatever wax or whatever they're using, and seal that lion's den. But then he looks at these people that made this law and that are forcing him to enforce it, and he says, "You know what, you come over here and you put your seal there too. Because if this doesn't turn out the way you're hoping, I'm going to be able to point to this seal that you're the ones that wanted this law and that you're the ones that wanted to toss them in here." And Darius is going to be able to say, "My seal is there that I did this blamelessly. I never wanted this, but your seal is going to be there, verifying that you're the real lions of the story." Right? It's the lawyers, not the lions. It's the politicians, not the problem. Like, that's the real threat for Daniel. They want to destroy him. And in the face of that danger, both from man and from animal, Daniel puts his confidence in God because God can be trusted. I had originally wrote this slide where each of the points started with the faith of Daniel, faith of Daniel, faith of Daniel. It's not really about the faith of Daniel. It's the strength of God. The strength of God, the strength of God that Daniel takes refuge in. And we would be foolish to put our refuge anywhere else. Daniel makes us stand a little taller because with this danger, he looks to God and knows, absolutely knows, that God can be trusted. Look at the chapter a little bit closer. Don't you see that God desires for our faith to be expressed the way Daniel's faith is expressed? That God desires our faith to be expressed both through word and behavior. Through the prayers that Daniel utters day after day and time after time in verse 10 and verse 11. But also through this holy and upright living. I am so impressed and appreciative of Daniel's faith here in the daily choices that he makes. And it's not even just faith that God is going to protect him today or that God knows the best way for him to live today. It is actually a faith that looks into the future. Skip ahead with me. I'm totally cheating, but that's okay. It's my lesson. Look at chapter 9. Chapter 9 also says in verse 1 that it's taking place in the days of Darius. So that's my justification for going to chapter 9. But look at chapter 9, verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of Median descent, who was made king over the kingdom of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed in the books the number of the years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the desolation of Jerusalem, namely for 70 years. What these verses are saying is that during this time where Darius is in charge and Daniel is being faced with this great challenge and threat with the lion's den, he is also studying from Jeremiah, and he understands that the 70 years are coming to a close. Pick up in verse 15. He prays to God about being restored back to Jerusalem and says, "Now, O Lord our God, who have brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and have made a name for yourself as it is this day, we've sinned, we've been wicked. O Lord, in accordance with all of your righteous acts, now let your anger and your wrath turn away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain. For because of our sins and iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people have become a reproach to all those around us. So now, our God, listen to the prayer of your servant, to his supplications, and for your sake, O Lord, let your face shine on your desolate sanctuary. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes, see our desolation and the city which is called by your name. For we are not presenting our supplications before you on account of any merit of our own, but on account of your great compassion. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and take action. For your own sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people are called by your name." The faith of Daniel is impressive, but only because God is this impressive. Because God is the one that always keeps his promises, both today and his promises for the future. And we want to put our faith in this great Jehovah God the way Daniel did. That's those grounded convictions that help us in these changing environments. And then thirdly this morning, let's talk about Daniel's perspective. Lots of complicated circumstances and decisions needing to be made here in chapter 6. First, I want you to think about his public service. Again, let me read this quote. I just thought it was so appropriate. Again, from Bible.org. "While these four godly Hebrews were willing to be called by Babylonian names, to attend Babylonian schools, and even work for a Babylonian government, they were not willing to eat the food served at the king's table." There are a lot of things that Daniel and his friends were willing to do to accommodate their society, to accommodate their culture. And we're going to do those things too. In our public service, we want to be honorable and humble and, when appropriate, like chapter 5, bold. But we have to know the difference between those liberties and those things that are matters of faith and conviction. And in my liberties and in my preferences, I can totally forsake those and give those up. Paul does that all the time. But there are areas where we will not be moved. Tracy and I had this conversation last week. We said, you know what? Every first day of the week, we've been worshiping. And for those that are online, I know you're worshiping right now. We will not be moved from that, will we? We're not going to compromise there. We are going to worship. And then we're going to try to worship together. And I just keep coming back to this time and time again. This is probably a little bit of Philip opinion, so I'm not trying to bind this, but I'm telling you my perspective on it. When we lived in Florida, not in Florida, excuse me, when we lived in Kentucky, you would not really say that we lived at the bottom of a hill. But there was a very slight slope on our street. And about 6 years ago, I remember very distinctly, we got about 12 inches of snow. And people at the end of the street, they thought that their tiny little Kias were going to get up this slope, and they were not. And so I would come out day after day and help push people's cars up this little bitty slope. The only people that could get up even that tiny little slope in our neighborhood were people with four-wheel drive. And the used car that we got off of Craigslist, it just happened to have four-wheel drive. So my family, we were able to get out of the neighborhood before others were able to get out of the neighborhood. And when a little Kia tried it, they always got stuck and slid back down the hill. Why am I mentioning that? When it snowed a lot in Kentucky, there were a few people with four-wheel drive. They were just a little bit better equipped, and they could come out earlier. There were others that they needed to wait for the situation to improve a little bit more, and they came out a little bit later, right? That's really what I feel like is happening now. There are those of us that are here this morning, and it's a blessing to see you, absolutely a blessing. And be grateful that you're able to come out a little bit earlier. And then there are others that they want to be here, and they'll be coming. They may not have four-wheel drive immune systems. They may not have four-wheel drive circumstances, but as they can equip themselves and as conditions improve a little bit more, they'll be here. Because we know that you make a distinction between liberties and things we will not compromise on. We will not compromise on worshiping our Lord each first day of the week. We will not compromise on worshiping in spirit and in truth. We have to keep moving forward there. But there's another thing that's kind of relevant to us today, and that's Daniel's perspective and discernment about government errors. This law should have never been passed, right? And there's lots of people today, everybody has a different opinion. I'm not trying to pick one opinion for you, but there's lots of people today that are frustrated with different regulations in different places. Look, Daniel just knew something. Only God's laws are perfect. And we're going to find ourselves a lot less frustrated and a lot less disappointed if we'll just keep reminding ourselves, only God's laws are perfect. He knew that imperfect people made imperfect laws. He saw this when he came to the Babylonians the first time with Nebuchadnezzar, right? And was being trying to push into eating the king's choice food. He saw it not just with Nebuchadnezzar, but with Belshazzar, throwing a ridiculous drunken feast. And he sees it again with Darius, right? In all the different administrations Daniel was under, there were imperfect people making imperfect laws. His convictions, though, would not change. His hope, being anchored in the law of God, that would not change. And we just need to remember that we continue to serve imperfect government officials, making imperfect laws, but that our hope has never been in those perfect governments or perfect people, because we know that they have faults. What would we see in this book? Well, maybe we'd see in chapter 1 that sometimes there are recommendations made, hey, you have to do this, and there's very little resistance to having a different exception. So Daniel and his friends can eat vegetables and it all works out rather smoothly. Chapter 6, does it all work out smoothly? Nope. It's much more high threat, much more difficult, but does God see him through it? Yes, God does. You know, we see these distinctions, these differences through the chapter. And we just want to remember that whether God makes it easy for us to do what's right or it's still challenging for us to do what's right, we're going to be the people that we do what's right without putting all of our hope in the local government. He's thinking about God's protection, isn't he, in this chapter? Verse 10, Daniel knew the document was signed, and he entered his house. Now, in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. And verse 22, my God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me, inasmuch as I was found innocent before him, and also towards you, O king, I have committed no crime. What I would hope we would remember is that Daniel went into his house to pray. He did not say, oh yeah, take me to the lion's den, I just want to jump in, right? He didn't jump into the lion's den, he was taken to the lion's den. but he would go of his own free will to carry out his worship as was consistent with his habits and his conscience. And we have to respect that about Daniel. He knew that it was really God who was the everlasting ruler. Read with me from verse 23. The king was very pleased. He gave orders for Daniel to be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatsoever was found on him, because he trusted in his God. And the king then gave orders. They brought those men who had maliciously accused Daniel, and they cast them and their children and their wives into the lion's den. They had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all of their bones. Remember those seals from verse 17? They get what they had tried to dish out. Verse 25. Then Darius the king wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language living in all the land, "May your peace abound. I make a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom, men are to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel. He is the living God and enduring forever, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. His dominion will be forever. He delivers and rescues and performs signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel enjoyed success in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. When you think about verse 27, remember that God delivered him from the human lions as much as the animal kingdom lions, because it is God who really reigns. Daniel knows that, and he keeps that in his decision-making and in his discernment. So what do we do with this week? You guys have heard me joke from time to time that Embry Hills is a church full of overachievers in a city full of overachievers. We're in circumstances that call for some overachievers. And we've been looking at Daniel this morning. Definitely an overachiever. I think he would love worshiping with us. So if we're going to be like him, give some attention to your responsibilities this week. Make sure that you are giving your very best there. Anywhere that you've started to slack off a little bit, get a little bit lazy, pick up that slack. Look at the task and the team members that you are assigned to work with, the ones that are entrusted to you, and like Daniel, be very diligent in those responsibilities. And in your faith, in those matters of liberty where we can yield, like they did in chapter 1, we'll yield, that's fine, but we will not abandon godly habits. We stay true to those godly habits. And if you found yourself lacking in prayer, then rededicate yourself to prayer the way that Daniel does. And in our perspective, let's stay calm and let's stay honorable. Daniel was honorable in every one of these circumstances. Daniel wasn't threatened because he put his faith in God. He knew he was just an alien, a pilgrim, a captive, living for a better place and longing for a better home, in spite of the errors and imperfections all around him. And we want to have that same calm and honorable spirit. Look, not every sermon that I preach is a Monday morning sermon, something that you can immediately apply. But I intend this one to be. And I hope it encourages you. I hope it equips you to excel in our responsibilities and in our faith and in our discernment. It may be that you're here this morning and you're thinking, I haven't been living like Daniel. In fact, I've fallen far short. If you need our encouragement and support, we want to be here to pray for you and lift you up. And maybe you know that you haven't really started your walk with God, that you haven't decided to put your ultimate faith and trust in him and live for an eternal home. If you need to be buried with Christ in baptism this morning, then we would make that possible. Just let us know your spiritual needs while we stand and sing the song "Selected."